We'll go ahead and, oh, there we go. Praise the Lord. And we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll head into something else. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and mercy this morning. We thank you so much for blessing us and keeping us and sustaining us. We thank you so much for your blessing being upon each one of us. And we thank you so much for the anointing that breaks a yoke and destroys a bondage, that lives, abides, takes up its home, and resides on the inside. We thank you for him and something that you said in the scriptures through the Apostle John. You said that he will come and make his home, his abode with us forever. And so I'm so grateful that he will never leave us or forsake us, that he is always with us, making a home in us. And so we thank you for this eternal effect and this eternal relationship that we have with the Holy Ghost. We thank you for him, that he lives and abides and teaches us from on the inside. He is our guide to give us direction and helps us walk in our way and walk in your steps and in your pathway and what you want us to do. And so we trust him today. We don't wait until we unveil ourselves of this flesh and of this body to begin a relationship and an interaction with him. We begin in this shell of a body. And in with this suit, this earth suit on, so to speak, we fellowship with you. We interact with you. We trust you, for you are our teacher. You are our guide. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending him to teach us and to guide us. We appreciate and we value and we esteem you and all that you do. We say your strength, let your strength, oh my Father, live big in us today. May your plan be seen. May your actions be seen. For you said, if I be lifted up, speaking about the Lord Jesus, then I will draw all men unto myself. So help us to lift him up and to magnify him, that all men would come unto the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for granting and giving us utterance this morning in all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, there's a, you can hit the button on there where, like, the very, 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 very first slide, or the ocean view, then that way that'll get that off there. But anyway, praise the Lord. And a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago or so, a lot of times I'll wake up and, you know, I'll hear something in my spirit when I wake up, or just my, you know, how many know your mind, will, and emotions are not your spirit, but your spirit and your mind, will, and emotions cooperate and work together. And so a lot of times you don't hear what's in your spirit because your mind, will, and emotions are too busy. And so, but a lot of times when you wake up in the morning, your mind, will, and emotions are quiet. So a lot of times you hear what's going on in your spirit because your mind's quiet. And it doesn't have to be that way, because if you just get your mind quiet in the middle of the day, you'll hear what's going on the inside. And so that's what fasting's for. Fasting helps you keep your body under, helps get your mind quiet, and helps you hear some things. And so a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, I don't even know how long ago, I woke up and I heard myself rehearsing this phrase, and it kept going back and forth and kept changing. And sometimes I'll do that in prayer, just say an English phrase back and forth. And but what I heard, and I wrote it down because I keep saying it backwards in different ways, but what I heard was, spirit-led is spirit-fed, and flesh-led is flesh-fed. If you're flesh-led, then it's because you're flesh-fed. But if you're spirit-led, it's because you're spirit-fed. And then, you know, I was meditating on that, and then something else came up on the inside. And really, the last 3 or 4 weeks, whenever I've shared up here, it's all coming from this. You know, like last week, talking about find scriptures that discuss your case. Find what, why am I doing that? Because faith-led is faith-fed. In whatever situation you're dealing with, if you're depressed about life, then begin to feed your faith on life, about life. If you're discouraged about physical healing or different things, begin to feed your faith or feed your spirit. And regardless of whether you mentally know it or not, you're already feeding yourself. How do you feed your faith or feed your spirit or feed your flesh? By setting your mind on what you feel. That's how you feed your flesh. Your flesh, one person said it like this: feelings are voice of the body, but conscience is the voice of your spirit. And reason and intellect and emotion is the voice of your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And so, but you can feed that witness, you can feed that your conscience by feeding it on the Word of God. And so I would encourage you, you know, these, Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. And so don't try to understand the Bible with your mind. Let it renew your mind, but don't always, and I'm not saying don't just try to understand it. I mean, if it says Jesus jumped on the boat, you can understand, hey, he got on a boat. That's great. But when questions arise and there's a division, learn to lean on your spirit. You know, if you're walking across the street, you need to know what's going on with your understanding. Well, I didn't have a witness about that car. Well, you got eyes. You know, I don't think people in Santa Barbara do have eyes, though, because they just walk out in front of you, you know. And so, but not everybody on the planet lives here, so, you know, they may not understand that. If you live somewhere else or you're watching online, just so you know, the old age thing, you know, where it's like when you're a little kid and you're 5 years old. I was taught this. I can't even remember how many times I was. When you cross the street, you look both ways. You look both ways and you cross the street. You look both. Here, they don't even look. They just start. They're just walking. Or here they are. They're looking at their device, just walking right out in front of you. They just walk right out in front. And then when you slow down or screech or make a noise, you know, with your tires, they look at you and give you dagger eyes. You know, and so, but, you know, you do understand. And then in John, in 1 John chapter 5, it says Jesus has given us an understanding. Your understanding can hook to your spirit, where your spirit can illuminate to your understanding the scriptures. The scriptures are not a mental book, and the source and origin of the scriptures is not a mental thing or a reasoning thing or an intellect thing, but their origin is of the spirit of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost resides on the inside of your spirit, and he will reveal, unveil, and unfold the truth that's in the Word of God, and that is the Word of God to your spirit, and your spirit will get it over to your understanding. And the scripture says that Jesus has given us an understanding. Yeah. Amen. And so then in Ephesians chapter 1, it says over there that the prayer that Dana always prays in 1 Dana chapter 1, verse number 16, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, grant and give unto us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Enlightened to what? To what's going on in here. And so, but if you're not spiritually fed, you're just going to be carnally led. But if you're just carnally fed or fleshly fed, that's what's going to have the preeminent voice in your life. And you can think, well, all these people seem to be led. That's just for them. Being led by the Spirit is designated to a certain group of people and them people only. What group of people is that? Those that give attention to their spirit. If you are going to be a person that is just going to be carnally fed, then you're only going to be carnally led. That the attraction and the desire and the appeal of spiritual things is always going to be distant to you. It's always going to be unattainable. It's going to be out here for somebody else. I wish, I hope, I would love to, but it doesn't begin with some kind of spectacular supernatural thing out here. It begins by finding scriptures. Feeding your faith. Feeding your belief. Everybody, you know, somebody said something, you know, we live in a TikTok generation, you know, so your sermon should only be a couple of minutes, this, that. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. We do live in a TikTok generation. But you know what else we live in? A binge Netflix for 17 hours generation. Nobody's talking about that when it comes to church. Oh, you need to shorten things. You need to make things different. Well, if it's good, people take off work to finish binge watching 24. I saw a thing the other day. They were talking about the show 24 with Kiefer Sutherland. No one had never even heard of it. And they started watching it and they're like, I had to miss work. Oh, no. They started watching it in the afternoon. They watched it all day, and they watched it all night. All night. And they had to call in tired, call in sleepy, because they binge watched. Nobody wants to talk about that. And so, I think we should give attention to the Scriptures. And give attention. It's worthwhile to give attention to the Scripture. No, we don't want to just do things for link's sake, But at the same time, we want to be more spiritually led, and we want to be more spiritually fed. And so, our purpose in the services here is to give you spiritual food to feed on and to meditate on, to make you more inward man conscious, and to make you more God inside. Minded and to develop and to grow spiritually. For out of your belly flows the issues of living water. Answers and direction and clarity to answers come through the Word and come through the Spirit, but come from on the inside of you, in your spirit, in your inner man, in your innermost being. There's a clarity and there are answers, for you are His sheep and you hear His voice. You know Him and you follow Him. But I have doubts and concerns. Doubts and concerns and questions are resolved when you feed your spirit. But if you continue to feed doubts and questions that cause disputings and division, then you'll be misled. But when you follow your faith and are faith-fed, you'll be faith-led, spirit-led, and Holy Ghost demonstrated, and that'll even raise you from the dead. Because there is coming a day. It says over here in 1 Corinthians that there will be a trumpet that will sound. There is coming a day that there's a trumpet that's going to be sounded, and it says those that are dead in Christ shall hear that sound. There will be a sound that the dead will hear, and they will be raised from the dead. Amen. And so, with that, let's go over here to James chapter 5, and we're going to look at or James chapter 4. We're going to look at a couple things, and I'm just kind of circling the airport here, see what we're going to do. And but just want to encourage you. In James chapter number 4, it says over here, and I'll read this. And it says in James chapter 4, verse number 13, and it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit." He goes, "Whereas do you not know what will happen tomorrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." And then he goes on and says, you ought to say, "The Lord wills, if the Lord wills this, the Lord wills that," and so on. But my question, my reasoning in bringing this up is that our time here, your time here in this planet is short. From a mental standpoint, it might seem long. When you're only mentally fed and outward man fed, it will seem long and lengthy and discouraging and depressing. But when you're inward man fed and inward man led and spirit led and faith fed, you'll know that this moment in time that you're here right now is a temporary thing. It's a very short period of time. There will come a day soon, not long, but soon, when you will not be here. And if you're older, you can remember 25 years ago like it was 5 minutes ago. And you can remember, I was talking to someone the other day, and I was thinking of something, it was just a few years ago, but I was thinking about it, I'm like, that was 35 years ago. And it seems like yesterday. You know, I mean, 40 years ago in some ways seems like yesterday. You know, and you know, but at the same time, if you're spirit-led, you'll know, hey, this moment that we're here, this is a temporary thing. We're only here for a moment. We're only here for a short period of time. Why are you saying all this? Because in this moment, not only are we here for a moment, get our mind off of us, the people that are around about you are only here for a moment. In a twinkling, in a blink of an eye, we're going to be changed. And just as quickly as that blink of an eye, we're going to be here and we're gone. We're here and we're gone. And I love what Jesus said. He goes, "Let me be about my Father's business." So I just wanted to encourage you, be spirit-led, be spirit-fed, but be mindful that you're only here temporarily. And there is an eternal purpose. There is an inward man purpose. There is a spiritual, a godly purpose for you to be in this life. Thank God that you can have good food and a nice car and you can enjoy life and have good things from that nature. But there is a greater dimension and a greater purpose of your life being here. There is a momentary glimpse, so to speak, that you're going to be here. And then when you lay down your life, when you die, when you pass on, I would like to go on to the other side with no regrets. Amen. I would like to go on to the other side and not think, oh man, why did I make this thing so important? Why did I value this, you know, I really wanted to buy a house and I put so much of my effort, so much of my energy, so much of my strength into purchasing a house. And I don't want to lay down my life and go to the other side in this temporary window, this short period of time, valuing something that might be important right now, but at the same time, did I value and make an important aspect of utterance? Did I see the value in praying for my brother and sister? Did I see the value of being spirit-led? Did I see the value of eternal things, or was I only have a mindset on temporary things? And so I want to be eternally inside-minded, but at the same time, take care of the outer. The New Testament emphasizes the outer, but you know, if you're God inside-minded, he'll correct you on the outside. He'll make you a good steward of what you are on the outside. He'll make you an example, but he'll make inward things more of a priority than outward things. And so we don't want, like we were saying in pre-service prayer, we don't want to miss we don't want to miss the supernatural by giving all of our focus and attention on the spectacular. You don't want to miss what God's doing because you're looking for that which is spectacular out here, but at the same time, the supernatural aspect of what God is doing, we don't want to overlook that. Let's go over here to Revelation, the book of Revelation. Let me get over there myself, and we're going to the very last chapter. And I don't really have a super tight outline on any of this. I just had some thoughts. I just had some impressions in my spirit about some of these things. So I'm endeavoring to convey those over as best I can. And in Revelation, and I believe it is the 22nd chapter, and we are going to look at verse number 7. And he goes, well, let's look in verse number 6. And then he said to me, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets and his angels sent his angel to show his servants these things which must shortly take place. Talking about all the things that have happened. And he goes, behold, so these things are going to happen shortly. And then he goes, look now, or behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this work. So he's coming quickly. He's coming quickly. Verse number 22, or verse number 12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. I give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And then we go down to the 16th verse. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. I don't know about you, but I hear, so I say, come, Lord Jesus. He said, the Spirit of God is saying, come, Lord Jesus. And it says the bride is saying, come, Lord Jesus. Eventually, we should be saying, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, not from a selfish standpoint, but it's God's plan. God owns the earth. It belongs to Him. Santa Barbara belongs to Him. The earth belongs to Him. North America belongs to Him. And it was stolen through an ungodly act of a man. It was ripped away from God's possession from a legal standpoint, but He owns it. It belongs to Him, and He's coveting your voice. He's coveting your stance. He's coveting you to give Him liberty in this earth to obtain and to make a decree that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. It belongs to Him. People belong to Him. He owns them. He created them. He breathed life into Adam, and He sent a Savior through Adam, through the genetic thing of the Israelites, the chosen people. Came that vine, the branch of the Lord Jesus Christ, the son of David, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus came, and He is that Savior. But through Him, there is a redeeming back, a buying back, a recompense, a payment that the earth belongs to the Lord, and He can get it back through Him. And our time here is short, but our ultimate purpose here is to give God His property back. Give God His property back. Give God His property back. It's not to build our kingdom or for us to do something out here that's highfalutin, that's impressing to man. God loves it, and He knows the time is short. There's people that are dying. What do they say? 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004, 1005. They say every second, it's like, what, 2 to 3 people die every second. Just right then, in those 5 seconds, how many people went from this life into the next? Their vapor was vanishing. If you're in Oklahoma or somewhere, you can get online and people breathe and there's vapor that comes out of there. You can see it momentarily, but then it's gone. That's what life is like. That's what people are like. There's just people that are dying. Our time is short. He's coming quickly. It's not a debatable thing. It's not a questionable thing. He's coming quickly. 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 He's coming quickly, and there's going to be a sound of the trumpet that the angel's going to sound, and those that are dead in Christ will hear that sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him to ever be with the Lord. We're eternally already with the Holy Ghost, but the Spirit of God is going to quicken our mortal body and make us new and transform this lowly, death-doomed, cursed body into the redemption that God originally designed it to be. But we don't have to wait for that day, because He's coming quickly. He's coming quickly. He's coming quickly. He's coming quickly. And we can lift up our eyes and look towards the harvest field and say they're truly ripe. Yes. Glory. There's people that are dying. There's people that are off into darkness, and how great is that darkness? They're gnashing their teeth. I want to be satisfied. They're grinding their teeth. I want something. I want new. I need a new car. I need a new house. They're pursuing all these things in this, but they're looking for light. They're looking for Him. They know. Mentally, they may not know. From their understanding, they may not know. But they can look at the world, and they can look at history, and they can go to a graveyard, and they know this is temporary. I gotta hurry. I gotta hurry. I gotta get all I can. But we can have that same thing. Our time is short. You may not be Reinhard Bonnke. You may not be Billy Graham. You may not be a great evangelist. You may not be called to the fivefold ministry, but you are part of the body of Christ. And as a member of the part of the body of Christ, you can pray. You can pray. You can give your service to God in prayer. I like what it says. Over there's a passage of scripture where it's talking about Jesus coming. And it says, don't be weary in your works, knowing He's coming. We can pray. What good's prayer going to do? It's giving God permission to do what He wants to do. He owns people. He owns them by right and by creation. He owns them. But they're going to reject him and choose not to go that way because they were in darkness and they did not see. But I'm going to carry my candle. I'm going to feed my faith. I'm going to feed my inner man and be as bright of a light as I can. And that little glimmer of light that people have, what is that about you? What is that? And you're not trying to get a notch in your belt or build your kingdom, thinking about, oh, the Father loves them. The Father wants them. The Father sent Jesus for them, that they would know him. He wants, how many of you, as a natural parent, you own those children. They physically came out of your being. And in a sense, when they're small, you physically own them. But yet your ownership doesn't make them like you. When they grow and they develop, more than anything that you want is to know them. Not because you're their dad or not because you're their mom and you know all those things about them and you know them well because of your interaction with them and you've seen them, their whole existence, grow from an infant into a young man or a young woman and you know them. But the cry of your heart is for them to come to you. Hey, can we talk? To sit down at the table and discuss their life with you. Discuss their loves with you. Discuss their choices with you. How much more does the Father want humanity to come to him and to beseech him, so to speak? Oh, my Father, what would you have me do? This is what I'm doing. This is how I feel. This is what I see. This is how I'm appreciating things or valuing things. What are your thoughts for me? What are you like? Let's go to Acts chapter 13. And I appreciate, you know, there's much to be said about being faithful and working a job and doing everything you know to do in the natural, and those things are wonderful. But we can't be so outwardly minded that we forget inward things. You know, we need to do everything we know to do. You don't have to substitute, you don't have to do away with something outward to do something inward. And inward and eternal things are different than outward things. Outward things says you've got to grieve and toil and sweat and time and hardness to achieve. That's true, right? What do we call that? Work. But in him, he knows no time. He's not limited by the parameters that are in the earth. He's limited by the parameters that we do or do not give him. And so you don't have to do all of these huge things out here, but just begin. Lord, I just want to minister to you. Lord, I'm going to take, that's why I always say, start with 3 minutes while you're heating up your coffee. Start with 2 minutes while you're driving. We give, how much time do you give to social media? How much time do you give to your political persuasion? How much time do you give to your hobbies or things you enjoy? How much time do you give to just friendships? Now, I'm not saying this to condemn, but saying it to observe and think, what do we value? And what you give your time to is what you value. And so what I always, you know, I always endeavor to, and I'm not saying, oh, you got to give, you got to start doing a log and seeing everything you give and make sure you're giving, if I'm giving this 2 hours, I got to give God 2 hours and 1 minute. I'm not saying that. I'm using time as a measuring rule to see what you value. You know, because a lot of times people's excuse is, I don't have time. Well, or if I had time, I would do it. But here's the thing. Forget about time. Do something. Even if it's, Lord, I'm just going to take 5 minutes. And I'm asking you, help me to help you. Help me to help you. What can I pray? What can I give utterance to? What would you have to be done in the earth? Help me to give utterance to your plan and your purpose in the earth. So in Acts chapter 13, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for about 5 minutes. Is that okay? Yes. We don't do this a whole lot here. I know we do this in prayer school and different things, but we don't always do it here. But we're going to take a few minutes that has nothing to do with us. If we never see a physical, outward benefit of it, forget about you. He owns this planet. I was praying about some things, and I'm asking the Lord questions and stuff. And I just heard it in my gut. And he just goes, it's mine. It's mine. You ever had anything stolen from you? How violated does it make you feel? Something you earned, you paid for, you made, and somebody steals it? I just heard that in my spirit. Just almost like a groan or a wail, like a moan almost, about people and the earth. It's mine. Would you please help me get it back in this moment? Can you take this moment that you're there? I'm not there the way you're there. I haven't been invited there the way you've been invited. I haven't been given the authority and power the way it's been given to you. Will you in this moment, in this time, in this vapor, this short period of time, this short moment, will you give me the opportunity to take back what's mine? Will you yield your voice? Will you yield your prayers? Will you give utterance to my plan, to my purpose, to my will? That maybe, perhaps, some wretched person, some ungodly soul that's on the brink of suicide and disaster and destruction could be salvaged because you gave up a meal and took time to yield? And I'm not saying this to manipulate or pressure, but get ourselves God inside minded. Yes. Acts 13, verse number 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, which is also called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And having fasted and prayed again, laid hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent by the Holy Ghost, went down to Seleucia, and from there sailed to Cyprus. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. So I just want to take a couple minutes. And let's just be as completely unselfish as we can. You're not going to be here much longer. It's just boom. And you know, I know some people have had some relatives and so on. They're gone. Unexpected, boom, they're just gone. They're here and they're gone. They're here. You could talk to them, fellowship with them, eat pizza with them. Boom, they're gone. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, as a vapor, they're here and they're not. People that would succumb to him because we prayed. They might be on their way out, but I believe we can give voice to his plan. Amen? And so We're not going to go a long time. I know I've spoken a little longer than I intended to, but is that okay to pray for a couple minutes? We're a Spirit-filled church. We're going to pray in other tongues. I'm going to say a general prayer here, and then we'll pray. And so I'll go ahead. Father, we thank you so much for this time. And Lord God, you said in your word, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest about rain. And so we ask you for the rain of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mercy and goodness today. We thank you so much for revealing, unveiling, unfolding your word to us. We thank you so much for you're so kind to us. You're so good to us to restore and to help, to bring healing and to bring health to us. We thank you so much. We receive of your hand and your predetermined plan health and strength and nourishment and physical changes. And we thank you so much. That those that fellowship and walk with you, there are benefits, and that some will say, I was going down this way. I had this ailment and this disease, but now as I've pursued him, those things have seemingly fleed. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you for unknown and unseen alterations physically. And so in the wake of pursuing him and articulating his plan, our own desires comes to pass. And so we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your help and assistance and aid in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You might say, well, what was all that? You know, just trying to convey my heart as best I can. You know, I just had some impressions, some thoughts. And I just wanted to convey that. You might say, well, did I get notes and take this with you? Sometimes you can take notes and it goes home with you, but sometimes just the spirit of it stays with you. There's meetings I've been in, I don't even know what they preached, but something of that meeting was left in my heart. I know I was at Rhema one time, and Doc Horton was preaching. And this is in school, in class. And everybody in the class started falling under the power of God. And I'd never experienced anything quite like that. And I went out, I think I went to the restroom or something. And then I came back into the room, and it was like walking into Jell-O that was like this deep. And like it was tangible. I went through the doorway into that classroom, and something hit me about here. And from here down, my whole body started getting all weird, like I'm in Jell-O. My mind was fine, everything was fine, but you could sense it. It had a barrier, and it just sat there and it just sat. I don't know the doctrine that he was preaching, but it made an indelible mark in my spirit. I still remember what it tastes like spiritually, and so sometimes meetings have a greater purpose than just absolute doctrine. Doctrine will help you retain them and stir them, but they're imparted spiritually. Amen. So I trust you got something. You were stirred this morning. And so we'll do our prayer if you can. I think it's the last thing that's on there. It says, in this I pray. Alan might know where it's at. It's on there somewhere. And so we're working out some of this stuff. So everybody good? Yeah. Everybody all right? Making sure everybody's good. Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know where that came from. I think that's the Waymaker video. But all right. Oh, there we go. No, it's okay. That's all right. So I'll just say a general prayer here. Father, we thank you so much for this time to pray, and we thank you so much for this service. We bless you. We thank you so much for blessing and keeping us and sustaining us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. It's done that to me when